Just as World War II veterans are getting older and passing away, survivors of the Holocaust are dwindling in number. When one survivor died last year, his daughter, a Milton resident, thought she knew his story, but it turned out she knew only part of it. The pain of the Holocaust apparently caused her father to keep his full story buried deep inside. Reporter Michelle Oberg-Figueroa has the story.
Chris Fairman Pyatt thought she knew all there was to know about her father's Holocaust survival story. But 6 months after he died, at the age of 92, Chris got an email.
"I'm sorry for your loss. Our fathers were first cousins. After a hiatus of more than 25 years, I attempted in 2013 to get my father, Severin, together with your father, Severin. Unfortunately, it never occurred."
Chris's father was Severin Fairman. Finding out her dad had a cousin with the same name, Severin, her reaction was
shock and surprise. I didn't even know that this whole side of my family existed.
The email contained more news, something that after 6 decades of life, she was learning for the first time. She was Jewish. It was there between the lines of the email.
Mentioning that my grandmother was at a bar mitzvah and that my grandmother went to Israel.
Her father being a Holocaust survivor, naturally the question had come up before. But until the day he died, the answer he had given was always no, they were not Jewish.
And he always insisted that he was arrested as a Polish laborer.
Chris says her father and his parents survived the Nazi death camps and settled in the United States.
"I grew up in Reading, Pennsylvania, on the edge of the Pennsylvania-Dutch country, in a very traditional 50s, 60s household, and that identity they chose was decidedly not Jewish."
Chris says her father did everything to distance himself from any reminder of the Holocaust.
"When we were younger, he refused to buy German products. German cars were never allowed in our family."
Throughout that childhood, there had been clues. For instance, Severin was the child of an educated Polish family and knew 7 languages. One of them stood out, Hebrew.
"He always insisted that Hebrew was just part of the curriculum. Now realize that was not true. The Hebrew was because he was from a Jewish family."
With this email, her father's secret history was beginning to take shape, but Chris still had questions. So last fall, she went to Brooklyn to meet her father's cousin. Like many immigrants of the era, Severin had changed his name and now goes by Sidney Schlesinger.
"When Sidney opened the door to his apartment, I felt that I was looking at my grandmother. He is a small man, very spry, very sprightly, sparkly eyes. It was very clear that this was really my blood relative."
Sidney had his own Holocaust story. Like her father, he was in the concentration camps. But whereas Chris's father had survived with his immediate family, his cousin had not.
"I will never forgive the Germans for killing my young parents, my wife, and my beautiful sisters. I'm the only one who somehow survived."
Sidney recalled seeing his mother for the last time.
"My mother, she said, 'You see where I am going,' or to the gas chamber. She knew that she's going to the crematorium and tried to live. That was her last word. Life has to go on no matter what."
Life did go on for the two cousins, but with a difference. Sidney would embrace his faith, settle in a Hasidic neighborhood in Brooklyn, and work in real estate. Severin would deny his faith, move to Pennsylvania, and own a hardware company. But why did Severin hide his heritage? Sidney thinks he may know.
"Because they were afraid there might be another Holocaust."
Another Holocaust. It's that fear, Chris now believes, that drove her father to affiliate with a Christian church. She remembers the moment it happened.
"One Sunday morning, my father at breakfast said that he had arranged for a neighbor to come and pick us up and start taking us to church. We attended Sunday school for a year and a half, and then we were baptized in the Presbyterian church. And I don't think I stepped after that into a Presbyterian church for about 20 years.
We can never know for sure what his motivations were, but Chris now believes her father remade his own identity in order to protect his family. He'd seen the worst of humanity at just 17 years old. Here's Severin describing the entrance to Auschwitz in a 1999 documentary called A Survivor's Story.
There were towers on which soldiers stood with machine guns. In the distance, there were chimneys belching fire. There was a smell of burned human flesh.
He would go on to spend the next year and a half beneath those towers and chimneys.
There was a limit to how long people could survive, so he was probably getting close to that limit when the war ended.
During their meeting in Brooklyn, Sidney asked Chris about a cup that belonged to his father.
And I had remember seeing a small silver cup on my dad's dresser.
Chris learned from Sidney that it was a kiddush cup, a Jewish ceremonial cup representing, of all things, salvation.
My grandfather was making blessings in this particular cup. I was waiting for this cup 70 years.
A cup. All these years sitting in Chris's childhood home represented the secret of her Jewish heritage, and to a man she didn't know existed some 200 miles away in Brooklyn, New York, that same cup represented renewed blessing. She gave the cup to her father's cousin. In return, he helped her reclaim her Jewish heritage. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Michelle Oberg-Figueroa.